is the Grinnellian Report. The unusual, weird news, anomalies, exopolitics. It's Beyond the Fringe, where conspiracy theory can become conspiracy fact. This is the Grinnellian Report with your host, Micah Hanks.
And from hundreds of miles beneath terra firma in the depths of the hollow earth, live from the Grinnellian Bunker, I'm your host, Micah Hanks. And this is the Grinnellian Report. Welcome to another week in the weird. Glad to be here. Your guiding voice in that esoteric trip that we take every week from the dark disquiet known as the Grinnellian Report. Thank you for being our guests. All of you live out there in Radio Land, all of our friends in the chat room. Boy, the chat room is filled up. You know, if you're listening to this as a podcast and you downloaded it later in the week, I can't blame you. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got things going on. But you are missing out in the biggest block party of the week. And everybody thought that they saved that for Fridays. That was until Grinnellian Report started broadcasting on Tuesdays. Welcome to the program. Caleb Hanks in the bunker with us. Yo, my man. What's going down? That's right. And Tyler Pittman, the dark cardinal himself, monitoring our chat room. Tyler, oh, man, I've been having a ball today, man. We've been having a ball today.
Yeah, it's been a nice afternoon.
It has, hasn't it? Oh, I tell you, we've all been having a good time. We always do. It is the Grinnellian Report, that happy, feeling good, fun time that brings you the latest in the weird news every week.
Yeah!
Oh, gosh. I'm giddy. I feel so great.
That's the caffeine beans you were eating.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's one of our secrets here on the program is that I've got these little chocolate-covered espresso beans. I mean, because they're great. I mean, they just give you enough of a pickup. You know, if I drink coffee late in the day, I won't sleep, man. Half the time, I don't sleep as it is. I think that's just, you know, concomitant with working in media. But it helps if I can try and get some sleep at night. And so right now, I'm drinking my Pure Heart Yerba Mate. Okay, while we're doing our show. And it helps to be able to get just enough of a little caffeine boost. And so what I've been doing is I've been doing those chocolate-covered espresso beans. You know, a lot better than caffeine pills, which, you know, I've known people who've taken those things, and literally I think that they black out for a couple of hours. You know, they go into a purely, nearly ecstatic state, but a purely functional kind of a passive operative state, if you will. So, anywho, welcome back to the program. I'm Micah Hanks. Welcome back to the Grinnellian Report as we kick off this week's edition of the show. Tonight we'll be discussing the reptilian uprising.
Yes!
Will the world be taken over by beasts?
Yes!
Beasts from the primordial past? Who knows? We'll obviously be looking at a little bit of Bigfoot. We'll be getting into, oh gosh, all kinds of stuff. There's always 100 things that we want to get into. Right off the bat, I want to actually get to a couple of listener emails and then pick up on something that we talked about last week. I've gotten so much feedback. Okay, hold on, wait. Red Pill Junkie is telling me mate has more caffeine in it. Great.
Red Pill Junkie just knows everything, doesn't he, now that he's gotten his face burned off.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, Caleb, by the way, yes, has unfortunately had Red Pill Junkie. I don't think he's necessarily suffered. In the world of cartoons, everything is fine. Isn't that kind of like a line from a David Lynch movie? In the bunker, everything is fine. Yeah, well, so I think Red Pill Junkie's going to be okay, but if you caught Gray Street last week, we left our heroes hanging as a great big explosion takes place in the inner earth, and Red Pill Junkie is being blasted out from beneath Brown Mountain because he found out what the real source of the Brown Mountain lights were.
Which concludes issue 2, season 1 of Gray Street, and starting next week, we're getting into Gray Street issue 3, and I will just tell you, things are going to get a little weirder. A little different.
They always do. It's the weirdest comic probably you'll find anywhere. Well, one of them at least.
It's gonna get weirder. It's a little tame right now, but it's just gonna get weirder.
Guys, I think this mate I'm drinking is actually causing me to go into an ecstatic visionary state. Folks, I'm gonna warn you, I could say just about anything tonight. My speech patterns could get weirder than Gray Street tonight. My speech patterns could get weirder than what you read that Caleb has written that I say on Gray Street. Which is it? Art imitating life? Life imitating art?
Or the mind-molested meat puppet?
There's some interesting things all in store for us, so I don't know. I don't know whether to hope that... I do hope that things that happen in Gray Street happen in real life.
You want me to be a mind-molested meat puppet? Oh, wait, no, again, that happens in real life.
You already are a mind-molested meat
puppet. Life-imitating art.
I am a mind-molested meat puppet, yes.
I'm trying to make you less of a meat puppet.
That's good. Well, you just have to send me to a psychologist who can undo the deneuralization, you know, the neuro-linguistic programming. You know, anyway.
That's kind of
good hypnosis.
Yeah. While you're at it, Caleb, would you do me a favor and would you de-neuralize Scotty Roberts, too? I think Scotty's in the chat room tonight. Scotty, haven't you got anything better to do than listen to me doing the show?
Scott!
Just do the show. Just do the show. Anyhow.
It can now start because Reptile has joined the chat.
Yes, indeed. Well, here's in addition to chatting with us and joining us in that Black Party chat room that we've got going on, look at all the MIBs in there tonight, too. I tell you, I knew they were watching. Next thing you know, they're going to show up in Gray Street. Well, I'll tell you this, guys. We're going to keep the phone lines open all night, so if anyone wants to dial in and participate in the program that way, you can reach us. The ways to reach the program are as follows. Graylian Report on Skype. You can also reach us 828-398-4886 on the old standard cell phone or, of course, a landline. But keep in mind, long-distance rates may incur. Typically, with cell phones, people have got national plans. That's not really an issue anymore like it used to be. That number again is 828-398-4886. You can also text the bunker anytime, 828-367-7201. And then you can also email me, info@graylianreport.com. And finally, if you visit graylianreport.com, podcast and radio, where we actually launch the live stream, the chat room's right there. That's how you can find the chat room. And you can also scroll further down the page, and all that call-in information is listed for you right there. So those are the ways that you can reach the program. We're always happy to hear from folks. And speaking of hearing from folks, listener emails. Liam writes, I just complained about a Facebook account that was titled, get this, Kill a Jew Day. It is, I mean, well, think about this. I mean,
it is dumb enough to like it.
I know, but when I hear his thing, he says, I received the following response, and this is where it gets really bad. Now, the story is that Liam was offended by this website, and so he sends this along
offensive to
us. Yeah, and so he says, I complained about this to Facebook, and this is the following response that I got. Quote, this group wasn't removed. Thank you for taking the time to report something that you feel may violate our community standards. Reports like yours are an important part of making Facebook a safe and welcoming environment. We reviewed the group you reported for containing hate speech or symbols and found it doesn't violate our community standard on hate speech. So calling a page Kill a Jew Day does not violate their community standards
no,
for hate speech?
It's part of a media manipulation campaign.
Oh, my God.
If it's taken down now, it'll never make it to a New York Times story.
Oh, yes, exactly. It has to be left up long enough so that the big news sources can find it. It's all a ploy. Okay. Now, it also further stated in the message sent to Liam, note, if you have an issue with something in the group, be sure to report the content, example, a photo maybe that you found, and not the entire group. That way your report will be more accurately reviewed. Liam says, I hope Facebook suffers the shame, loss of reputation, and financial ruin it deserves for this. Now, I did receive an update, and apparently the page was later taken down, but he still was told that the initial response was computer-generated, and that apparently their review process had not been complete at the time they told him that they found no evidence during their review that contained hate speech or symbols. I don't know, kind of strange. Unbelievable, really. But anyway, thanks for writing that and sending that along, Liam. Mark writes, Micah, another good show, talking about last week. But then he says, I ended up being born in Iran in the U.S. Army hospital there. The U.S. moved in and set up shop there after the CIA coup, so your story was very relevant to me. And while you hinted at it, I can think of a couple of conspiracy theories about why the powers that be would want to keep the Middle East doing its slow boil. I enjoyed Dr. John Ward as a guest, and his playbook of all the actors was very interesting. The Redford Pitts movie Spy Game is also still relevant. Keep up the good work, Mark. You know, I have gotten so much good feedback about having John Ward on the program last week. And as a matter of fact, Days writes, and this was another one of these emails. I wish I had time to get to all of them. These were two of the more poignant of them. But this one reads, I really enjoyed the Middle East discussion. I love Micah on Mysterious Universe visits, but I'm far less into conspiracy topics, and so I tend to listen to The Graylian after a longer list of other podcasts. But this time you had a rock-solid discussion with nary a conspiracy insight and about an important, difficult-to-understand topic with an excellent informed guest, and I really loved it. I'll be keeping this episode up for a long time. Now, the John D. stuff at the end was fine, but to be honest, my mind was still on the earlier part of the show. There is so little good, useful discussion of real news issues like this that I treasure what I can get and, well, can't help but hope that there is more of this to come from Micah. Now, I understand your Miley Cyrus rant at the beginning, but things like that, which are not in any way news, are one reason I left big media outlets and removed all breaking news alerts from my phone. Micah made this non-story entertaining, however, because he always does, and I'm not complaining, just complaining about how entertainment has taken over news and pushed out the real thing in these past few years. Good job. And I agree. I do certainly think that, I mean, and that's the whole point, and that's the only reason I even mention Miley Cyrus, aside from the fact that I noticed that, sadly, our numbers, the listenership that night on the Micah Hanks program, were slightly down because everybody was watching Miley twerk around on stage.
I do not understand why that got such huge coverage. I saw the performance, and it was honestly pretty lame.
Of course it was. That's why it got so much attention. It was so bad that people had to talk about it.
But it's just, to me, it's just like people blow up when Madonna would go do something crazy back in the day. And all Miley Cyrus did was walk out, look distasteful. And it almost seemed to me like to get the exact same, if not more, attention. It's like, why don't people get attention when they do things that are incredible? You know, it's more like entertaining to just bash on people that are completely mediocre. But hey, that's reality and TV too.
Completely mediocre events. Like, who cares?
Yeah, the video awards. Seriously, why are music videos even relevant anymore? There's not even any MTV could care so much less about music or music videos. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. In Time Magazine this week, there was an editorial comparing Miley Cyrus's performance to Madonna at the first Video Music Awards performing Like a Virgin, which at the time I don't think the song had actually been released. This was the first time that the public ever heard the tune. It went on to be like one of her very biggest hits of all time. But you remember the lacy costume and everything. It wasn't necessarily all that risque, but of course she was rolling around and singing. It was almost tame compared to what Miley Cyrus did the other night. But the analysis compared the two and said the difference between someone like Madonna is that Madonna understood the real way artistically to convey sexuality. She had studied film. She had studied dance. She was an expertly trained dancer. Miley Cyrus, she's out there. I don't think anything she was doing was considered a very artsy or quote unquote dancey. I think she was more just kind of stomping around. There wasn't really any dancing. She's not exactly sexy. I don't really think there's anything. I mean, as a matter of fact, to me, looking at someone like Miley Cyrus and trying to say that that is a sex symbol, that makes you feel dirty. It makes me feel dirty.
I thought you were going to say Billy Ray was sexier than
Billy
Miley.
Ray is sexier than Miley.
Well, I heard something really funny, and I was tweeting about this earlier.
Well, okay, hold on. Let me amend that statement. Billy Ray was sexier in the 1990s when he had the mullet.
I think the mullet was sexy, harsh. But not Billy Ray.
Miley.
Achy Breaky Heart was sexy, yeah.
But I heard El Rushmo, the Rush Limbaugh, say that Miley Cyrus had an almost pornographic performance with Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke?
Now, seriously, it was Robin Thicke, okay? If Alan Thicke had been on stage, now that's entertainment.
If Alan Thicke had been on stage,
I would have died.
And the lyrics to that song, I mean,
I think
like
Miley would have died.
Sounds like he's talking about an animal, I mean, honestly.
Well, you know, anyway. But I think we're doing exactly what our last listener had tried to avoid, and we're going to try and avoid that, too. That's all the twerking we're going to do for tonight. Adam writes, I appreciated the step away from the esoteric and into the Middle East events last week. While not as palatable as the usual Graylian Report topics, it was an enriching view into events that, though far away, are certain to increasingly impact us as listeners. Thank you. Keep up the good work. And Adam, thank you for that, by the way. We always like to hear from Adam. One of our loyal and fabulous one of the many fabulous listeners that we have. But again, yes, it's not as entertaining, I think, and not as silly. But see, it's funny because there are certain people out there who they'll hear me on another show and they'll hear the kind of things that I like to talk about. Technological trends, conspiracies, but, you know, again, from a reasonable, and if I can at all do it from a historical and from a very truly fact-based disposition, that's always my position. I don't like to just, you know, and if I throw speculation out there, I don't think it's a problem to do that, but I'll tell you, now this is speculation, like we did last week on the show, but I'll tell you this, or 2 weeks ago, or somewhere. But anywho, I think that it is important to talk about these kinds of things, because again, when you have something that is potentially world-changing, like what's about to go on in Syria, when you have something like that happen, you're doing everyone a disservice. If you have the ability to reach a large audience, thousands of people like we do every week on this program, and you don't try and present an intelligent take on that for the benefit of those who tune in and listen to your program. You know, because the thing is that a lot of people who listen to this show prefer it. They don't just listen just to get away from the media. They prefer it to what you see in the mainstream. And a lot of those people, like Dave's who had just written in, they don't even subscribe. They don't even pay attention. They don't want to go in. And even though Drudge Report is quote-unquote independent news, Tyler and I were talking about this today. You know, Drudge, he has his own agenda, and he very often presents stories in a way that feeds a certain agenda Everybody does that. And no matter whether you are independent or mainstream, there's always going to be kind of an agenda behind what you do. That's called being human. And that's okay. Expect it and accept it. But by the same token, you're going to find an agenda here just as well. I just try to make sure that that agenda has a little more heart and a little more mind behind it than what you get in the mainstream. And I like to try and keep myself in the center. You know, Dick Oakley, the voice of this program, the guy whose voice you hear on every introduction of the Graylian Report, Dick and I were sitting around a while back, long before I launched this show, long before the first incarnation of the Micah Hanks program. A lot of people don't know the Micah Hanks program actually started before Graylian Report. And then that went on hiatus. I started doing Graylian Report instead. And then when KGRA wanted us to join up, I said, you know what, rather than selling out Graylian Report and taking that to KGRA, and doing that, I'd like to keep things as they are with the Graylian Report.
You just blew some listeners' minds, bro.
Yeah. I'd like to keep it how
Micah
it is here.
Micah Hanks show before Graylian? I can't handle this, man.
Well, we all know time doesn't really exist. Anyway, point is that, we took the Micah Hanks program to KGRA. Now, back when the original, back before any of this, before I was doing podcasting, before I launched the Micah Hanks program as a radio show, Dick and I were sitting around talking, and he says, you know, Micah, someone needs to do a political show or just any kind of show, but politics is the hot thing these days. But, it would be great to have a truly, truly middle-of-the-road, politically moderate program that sits yourself right in the center and looks at what both sides say and says, now, we're going to play an audio soundbite. This is what this congressman said, okay? But now here is a rebuttal from Lindsey Graham. Now, we're not going to put our spin. This is exactly what was said. You know, and he was right, and rather than just going straight down the road of politics, we talk about that a good bit, especially on the Micah Hanks show, but my goal is to look with a certain moderate attitude at all things, religion and spirituality versus atheist and agnosticism. I think if anything, you might call me agnostic in the sense that I'm not going to tell you there's only one way. This is right, that is wrong. This is good, that is bad. We have morals and scruples, and we understand right from wrong, but in most instances, when it has to do with politics or religion, there are going to be more than one valid perspective. And so that's what we try and do on this program and in any format that I'm working with. And that doesn't mean that I don't have opinions of my own. That just means that I'm not going to allow a preconceived concept or an attitude to lead where my logic will go. And that's why, again, why I call myself, in the classical sense of the term, a skeptic, a person who withholds judgment and bases all attitudes thereafter on what the facts actually indicate, rather than merely what I want to see or take back from reading a news story or anything like that. So now, all that to say, when we had John Ward on the program last week and we talked about the situation going on in Syria right now, yes, this is timely. Yes, I feel that we presented this in a way that was very different from what you hear elsewhere and what you're going to see in terms of what the other pundits and the news anchors and people like that are talking about. Yes, I will allow discussion, serious discussion, as long as it's not wonky and crazy. I will allow serious discussion of conspiracies because in my heart of hearts, and having spoken to people who are far more in the know, and notice I always say that, you know, it is difficult for me at times to name names. I can tell you John Ward because you've heard him on this program. There are other people who, by virtue of their position in academia, or their position in, typically not government, but I do have people who have worked alongside people in government. I have a lot of friends in those kinds of circles, and they, for obvious reasons, cannot put their name behind such statements, but they have told me their feelings. And a lot of people who come from really solid educational backgrounds have said everything about this situation in Syria looks to me like an inside operation of some sort, possibly a false flag. Now, I'm not saying that that's what it is, but I am saying that there may be more to this story than what we think. And think about this. While the Obama administration maintains, without question, that the Assad has launched this attack, some people may already be aware of this, but there has been the allegation made that insurgents in Syria have already taken responsibility for the chemical weapons attack. As a matter of fact, Press TV carried audio of this earlier this week. You know, we have that audio for you now. Putting this out there, here's what they've reported with regard to Syrian rebels claiming responsibility.
Well, in Syria, the foreign-backed insurgents have taken responsibility for last week's chemical attack, with which the U.S. and its allies are blaming on the Syrian government. Militants in the Damascus suburb of Ghouta admitted to Dale Govlak, a freelance AP journalist who broke the story for Mint Press News, that they received the chemical weapons from Saudi Arabia. The insurgents have also said that the casualties were the result of mishandling of the chemical ordnance, which happened because they were not properly trained how to handle such material. A few months ago, shocking footage posted on the internet showed insurgents testing chemical weapons on laboratory rabbits and making threats to use them against Syrians.
Now, I don't know if this has been debunked yet or not. It doesn't look like something that necessarily needs debunking. It looks like it's valid information. It was reported by an AP reporter. The information may not be entirely accurate, but the presentation appears to be legitimate, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And so, therefore, I present that here just as an alternative perspective.
Yeah, no need to hedge it. I mean, the so-called facts that we're getting are just as much conjecture, if not more so.
And I think
this is at least sensible. They give a reason why it was released, and it's pretty much...
Something that our government hasn't apparently been able to do.
Well, that's...
Say that they have thousands... Literally, John Kerry's
got the evidence.
We have thousands of sources that prove that Assad was behind this chemical attack. Well, you know, why haven't we seen one of them? Now, John McCain the other day had gone on television and had been, I think it was on Jay Leno, and then there was another one too. He'd done two programs, and he was talking about, you know, the photographs of the bodies piled up. A lot of people are asking, where are the bodies? Actually, there was a photograph that appeared in Time magazine this week that shows bodies that don't appear to have been harmed, you know, or any kind of... You know, injuries inflicted. In other words, they were you know, nerve gas.
I mean, I think
casualties.
It's a cultural tradition to wrap the bodies as soon as possible.
Some of the bodies were wrapped. Now, some of the bodies in this photo were wrapped. There were others that were lying directly alongside them that were not wrapped. And again, they appeared unscathed. But anywho, you know, that, and I don't want to spend the entire time talking about Syria tonight. I did feel that it is important to bring those things up because, folks, I'm going to put it to you very simply. Okay, this is how it goes. If you want finer evidence, I don't know that there is finer evidence, but this is certainly some of the best I've seen in a long time that shows that there is probably stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we're not made fully aware of, but look at what you're hearing internationally. Look at the way that the administration is responding. There's more to this story than you're hearing, and it's never been so obvious as what we're seeing in Syria right now. I'm Micah Hanks. We'll be back right after this. According to the Maya, the rain god Chalk created the vast oceans as he struck the clouds with his axe in ancient times. Some believe today that there may be more to these myths of strange beings, but no modern adventure will explore mysteries of our ancient past like the Ancient Alien Cruise, January 9th through the 13th, 2014. Set sail for a high seas adventure with experts in ancient mysteries and ancient astronaut theories, including author David Hatcher Childress, Dr. Robert Schock, and Hugh Newman. Go where mysteries of the ancients await you, along with a privately led shore excursion to Mayan ruins, and a one-of-a-kind fine dining experience with your guides and speakers aboard one of the specialty restaurants on deck. Sign up early to ensure the speaker of your choice, and reservations made by September 1st will receive $25 per cabin onboard credit. The Ancient Alien Cruise will depart from Fort Lauderdale. Airfare, travel, and insurance is not included, but call for additional pricing and amenities. For details, visit ancientaliencruise.com or call Holiday Maker Travel toll-free at 877-642-4308. Embrace the spirit of adventure. ancientaliencruise.com. It is the Graylian Report. I am Micah Hanks, the mouth of the South, broadcasting from the darkest quiet known as the Graylian Bunker. Right here from the spy capital of the Southeast, beautiful land of the sky, Asheville, North Carolina. Always glad to be your voice of right and reason in an unreasonable world, as we do every Tuesday night here, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I love it when I'm trying to get a news story to load and my little browser just hangs up, because Tyler's found something that looks really interesting. I think at very least, who is it? Is it Gitmo Slave? Is that what he's called, Tyler?
Yes.
Gitmo Slave.
Look it up.
That's Gitmo his handle on Slave. Twitter. He's reporting supposedly, well, there's a couple of things I'm seeing here. One, John Kerry is now saying that there may actually be ground troops put on the ground in Syria. This, of course, coming from Infowars.com, but he was also reporting...
Yeah, I can't rule out boots on the ground is the quote.
Yeah, again, but the first story, though, which, again, I can't even get it to load. Tyler, what was it that he was talking about here?
It says it's a new blog piece, it looks like, mm-hmm. on Russia ordering a massive military strike against Saudi Arabia now, in the event of a U.S. campaign against Syria.
Now, is this... See, this is the thing, is that this is all coming... Uh-oh, we got more breaking news from the chat room. Cosmos is almost out of wine. Needs replenishment to her supply immediately. Cosmos, may I recommend Alien Abduction wine? You know, Rob sent us some of that a little while ago.
We've also got some bathtub wine.
Made some Merlot Vance, in the toilet.
That's right. Yeah, Vance Pollock likes to make what he calls bathtub absinthe. Yeah. So, but that's only what we drink down here in the bunker because it's green. Okay.
What are you talking about? We don't drink out of the bunker.
I'm drinking yerba mate over here, and apparently I'm going to be awake all night too.
The Graylian spiked my Arizona green tea.
Yeah. Well, listen, we'll keep you up to date. Tyler, keep an eye on that. We'll try and get some more updates about this, you know, because, again, a lot of the time this stuff is speculation. And one of the really interesting things that is...
Well, I'm actually reading it, and it's... I mean, they have quotes and stuff from Putin, so it looks like it could be legitimate. I have not read the entire thing yet, but I'll work through it and report back.
Media is so strange these days. I mean, I have to say that often what you'll see is bits of information that come out. They're kind of leaked through these weird kind of offbeat, fringe, you know, peripheral sort of sources. And then days later, it might be an actual big story that you'll see, like, you know, Wall Street Journal or New York Times will have it. Fox News will have it front and center, something like that. But at the outset, sometimes it's like it begins with a little ripple and then it turns into a great big tsunami. So,
and this has to do with the Chechen terrorist situation that's been ongoing in Russia for a while now, and evidently Saudi Prince Bandar, I guess he's a prince, I don't know, had made comments that if Russia were to interfere with what's going on with Syria, that they could easily make more attacks available, kind of hinting at that them having a part in the attacks by the Chechen terrorists. Like, I assume that's where the Boston bombers were supposedly from.
Right, yeah. I
think what was I going to say? Slip me. That's how it goes.
That's how it goes because you're over there. You're being mind molested, Tyler. Well, changing gears for just a minute. We have... No. I'm actually looking at Who Forwarded right now. There's this incredibly strange story coming out of Canada right now. At 7:30 a.m. on Wednesday, residents of Terrace, British Columbia, woke to a terrifying sound piercing the air over their small city. Now, a horrible metallic noise, it is being described as. And in fact, I think that writing for Who Forwarded, it's actually referred to by Greg Newkirk as being apocalyptic, eerie apocalyptic noises. The second time, according to Kimberly Wookie.
What?
Wookie? She's a Wookie? Kimberly Wookie said that she had heard... Or rather, this is the second time that she had heard these sounds there in Terrace. Remember last year, there was just an entire summer of these strange noises. I mean, they sounded like Transformers humping or something up in the upper stratosphere. And whatever these things were, there's something, I mean, bizarre going on. Who knows where these things are? And people have said atmospheric noises. People have said all kinds of stuff. And here we're talking about these things now appearing more recently here in Canada. Not here in Canada. That's Grimerica country. As a matter of fact, I see Graham in the chat room tonight. She says, I shot out of bed like a bat out of hell, realizing it was the same sounds that I had heard before, and I ran looking for my camera to try and capture them. Now, after calming her son, who claimed that the phenomena literally shook the windows by his bedroom, Kimberly managed to make a recording of these eerie sounds. We're going to try and get that for you here, which she promptly shared with the internet. And she said, after it was over and I sat down at the computer to upload the video, checking my Facebook, I noticed a lot of locals, a lot of my friends on Facebook, had also heard the same sounds, but this time it was far more widespread. I have no idea what these sounds are, but it's pretty darn strange, and I'm glad that I was able to catch them this time and share what I heard. Very, very strange. Now, I'll tell you this, too. We had one of those incidents where I've heard them referred to in the past as skyquakes. We had an incident occur a while back here in Asheville that was strangely centered right over the bunker. I mean, it was the strangest thing ever. Right, literally, directly over the bunker, this what was reported and described by local media as an incredibly loud explosion of unknown origin. It seemed to originate from the sky. It happened right over the, you know, well, the area known as the bunker. I couldn't give you that information or we'd have to kill you. But so I found that, so I found that very interesting that it's even happened here. And from time to time, these sounds have been known to occur. And who knows where they come from? I think that one alleged source of these skyquakes, I wonder who coined that term skyquake. Was that a Charles Fortism? Maybe somebody in the chat room knows if that was a Charles Fort quote. But I think that they were reported in the Caribbean. I think that they were reported in Germany and the Ukraine. They were reported maybe in Australia. There were all different kinds of places that these sounds were popping up. Now, earlier today, trying to access the audio, which was apparently uploaded to YouTube, the YouTube video would not load. And so right now, we're literally, you know, while we're actually doing the broadcast, still trying to find that audio. One of the guys will probably dig that up for me. I'd like to hear what this sounds like. But in the meantime, we have something else that's a little strange sounding that that I'd like to get around to. There was another report that came out this week of an alleged Sasquatch vocalization. This one's very long.
Yeah, I've got it right here.
No, that's Miss Wookie.
Oh, that's right.
That's the gal who heard the skyquakes, yeah. Different Sasquatch, but that I don't think is Wookie at all. Okay. That is a sign of things to come.
Or is it?
Indeed, is it? I think we may actually have that audio. Okay, here's the audio from... This is what was allegedly heard in British Columbia. You know, it almost does sound like a Wookiee. What is that?
Sounds like a missile alarm.
Baby Godzilla?
Now, this is allegedly unexplained. Nobody seems to know what those noises are. That's pretty weird, and it's very similar to what had been reported, I believe, in the Ukraine. There was a famous video online of again, it just sounds like this God Almighty metallic screeching that takes place, and it seems to emanate from the sky. Now, a lot of people have tried to say that these were viral videos. I mean, who knows? Maybe that is the case. But if they were viral, they've been, you know, allegedly reporting the same thing or very similar phenomena for over a year now, and there has not been any indicator of what they're actually, quote-unquote, promoting. That is, again, assuming it's just some sort of a viral media kind of campaign. And so if that's the case, again, I have to wonder sometimes what the motive would be, or perhaps even more more concerning to those who would benefit from promoting the campaign in that way. It's a very ineffective viral campaign, it would seem to be, wouldn't it? Yeah, there they are again.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. I hope we haven't got rattlesnakes in the bunker.
I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear anything? I think the whole world just heard that.
No. Heard what?
I want to change gears here because there was some more audio, and we'd begun to hint at that before we got this strange skyquake thing happen. Have you ever heard of a skyquake, or rather, more importantly, have any of our listeners heard these strange noises in the sky? They obviously haven't gone away. They do happen from time to time. People have speculated about everything from weather control technologies to aliens. God knows what these things are.
Didn't Patton Oswalt talk about sky cake?
Sky cake? I don't know. That may have been something a little different. Okay, we have Bigfoot sounds that were recorded this week just as well. These were apparently recorded by hikers or campers. As a matter of fact, you can kind of hear them moving around in their tent while they're recording these strange noises. I'll just tell you this. If these are actual screams of Sasquatches communicating, well, first of all, I wouldn't want to be the guy who's down there screaming with them. It's a very odd way of communicating. Nonetheless, here is the purported Bigfoot vocalization. This is making the rounds now.
It's crazy. That's no dog.
It's a bear.
It's not a dog. It's not a bear.
It's a bear.
It's Bigfoot.
Wow.
Oh, my God, it's Bigfoot.
They don't call that much.
Okay, really, I mean, it just kind of goes on like that. But you know what? It does sound sort of similar to the Skyquake thing recorded up there in British Columbia.
Skyquake. Well, it must be Bigfoot.
What the hell is Sky?
Season.
Yeah, that's what it is. But what is Skyquake?
That's what Bigfoot eats.
Bigfoot eats Skyquake?
Sure, why not?
I thought it was Jack Link.
You remember the, yeah, it's Jack Link's, yeah. Do you remember the old recordings or the reports of the UFOs where what was known as angel hair fell from the sky after some of these things appeared, even some of those ghost rockets? You know, I've got my first preprint edition for review. I'm holding right here in my cave,
caveman hand.
No, I was gonna say my cave fungus stained hands, because you know the rock walls on here. It's more like algae, actually. Fungus, you know. This is cave algae stained hands. I'm holding right now a copy of.
He likes them lichens.
This is a book that Tyler helped with a good bit as well. The Ghost Rockets. This is a new book from Micah Hanks that you'll be hearing a lot more about on Graylian Report before long. I'm excited
it's
about this.
Not
book,
about Patrick Swayze's privates.
No, it's not. No, the Ghost Rockets. The Ghost Rockets. A lot of people already know what a ghost rocket is, but I'm going to tell you in this book they have a lot more to do with recent phenomena, not just the ghost rockets that were appearing over Scandinavia immediately after World War II. However, even in some of those ghost rocket reports of actual anomalous missiles of unexplained origin that kind of they kind of have their own niche within the UFO subculture. There were reports sometimes of this strange thread-like stringy material that would appear that was allegedly a byproduct of the exhaust that these various craft produced. And some people over the years, I believe John Keel and Ivan Sanderson had written about this. They referred to it as angel hair. I'm sure a few of our listeners out there are savvy Fortians in the audience. They probably know a little about what we're describing right there. So I have to wonder about that. You know, maybe this phenomena, maybe what those people heard and called Bigfoot screams, maybe that actually wasn't a Bigfoot screaming. Maybe that was one of these skyquakes. Who knows? Maybe the UFOs are mating.
They're probably located close to like a mental institution or something. They're just getting some recreational time.
Yeah, maybe the Bigfoots are piloting the UFOs, and the Bigfoots and the UFOs are submerging themselves into one Skyquake.
The Bigfoots and the UFOs are breeding. That's
it's
what it
Gaia
is.
Gaia Earth moaning out in pain.
They're going to have alien Bigfoot butt babies.
You'll hear up in the sky. That's what I always thought the Bigfoot would sound like.
Well, I thought, since we're talking about Bigfoot, I thought we'd wrap up this segment with a classic from here on the Graylian Report, an original in-house production that only few have heard, and certainly Graylian listeners haven't heard this in a long time. For many of you out there, especially the thousands that have picked up probably since the last time we played this. This will be an old treat and a very new kind of treat for a few of you. This is the song here known on Graylian Report as the Bigfoot Song.
They were first known as the Abominable Snowmen.
Sasquatch. Sasquatch.
Perhaps the most amazing Bigfoot sighting in recent years occurred when Elmer Frombach of Seattle, Washington, took his family on an outing near the Canadian border.
Oh, my God! It's Bigfoot!
Sasquatch! Ah!
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Sounds like Bigfoot's dead!
Ah! Recent polls show that Americans believe Sasquatch to be the most evil creature in existence.
Sasquatch.
Oh my God, it's Bigfoot!
If it truly was a Bigfoot that he saw,
I saw a big black hairy mass right behind all of those rocks and twigs.
Sasquatch.
Join me. Perhaps you may be able to help solve one of tonight's unsolved mysteries.
There it is.
Robert Stack knows a thing or two about the Squatch.
I hope he does, yes. Hopefully Robert Stack can tell us a little about Sasquatch.
That voice sounds like the one that'll greet you when you go to hell. Like, sorry, not this time.
Not this time. Next time. Yes, next time, my friends. For now, you'll have to suffer in purgatory until you're born again on Earth as a hamster. Oh, that's the way it goes, isn't it? Anywho. You know, and I have to I put in the chat room, by the way, Sasquatch is sexy, and Mrs. Eccentric asks, so Micah, can you, are you care to tell us how you know? Ninja also writes something interesting in there. He says that the unexplained, let me scroll up where I can find it, the unknown can be discussed to the nth degree without any evidence. Well, a lot of people do that. Now, of course, on this program, we try to, granted, I'm not presenting this Bigfoot audio or anything like that as evidence. We're discussing it. But then again, I also don't purport to okay, my gut doesn't tell me that what we're hearing there is actually Bigfoot mating calls. Again, I think that we're probably hearing Transformers mating in the upper stratosphere, something more like that. I mean, which
much
is
more likely?
Much more likely.
And neuter. He's getting neutered.
He's getting neutered. Yeah, that's a Sasquatch neuter. I'm sorry. It's a Sasquatch. There he goes again. I tell you, I'm starting to worry. Something else. Also, I just saw somebody toss up there in the chat room. By the way, we also have RPJ saying that Aaron Wright, one of our very own friends at Mysterious Universe, apparently had a Python on his roof. No, on his roof. Roof.
Baby Ruth.
Roof. Python on his roof. He had a python on his roof. Hope we don't have snakes in the cave.
Sneaking down and eating you while you sleep.
I am tired of these beep snakes.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the reptilian uprising here on the Graylian Report. Micah, Caleb, and Tyler, stay with us. If you are interested in the unexplained, like I am, then you probably want to know everything there is to know about every place there is out there. Anywhere, not just in the United States or in Britain. You want to know all about all the weird stuff, anywhere it may be. And one of the less often discussed areas of Fortiana and the unexplained is Australia. And that's why the latest book by Andrew Nicholson, Weird Australia, is a must-have for any paranormal enthusiast's collection. It details and documents reports of yowies, bunyips, and all different kinds of strange happenings that have taken place down under. It's Weird Australia by author Andrew Nicholson, available online as an ebook download on Amazon.com. That's Weird Australia. What are you waiting for? Check it out online right now at WeirdAustralia.com. Imagine a place, beautiful, green, sloping mountains, and a rich, mysterious window into our ancient past. It's a culture the likes of which you won't find anyplace else. And while the place I'm describing is in Vermont, it's also the home of Inner Traditions, publishers of fine books on mind, body, and spirit for more than three decades. Inner Traditions are internationally recognized publishers of everything from occult to esoteric and spiritual books, as well as the leading authorities on alternative health, holistic healing, sacred sexuality, altered states of consciousness, and so much more. And frankly, it's not the kind of information you'll find just anywhere. Exploring the inner secrets of humanity requires thinking outside the box. And when it comes to Inner Traditions, the name says it all. All you have to do to learn more is visit innertraditions.com and you can receive a free catalog that will tell you all about their latest books and newest authors. That's Inner Traditions and Bear & Company, publishers of fine esoteric books for more than three decades. Find them online at innertraditions.com.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Is the Graylian Report. The unusual, weird news, anomalies, exopolitics. It's beyond the fringe, where conspiracy theory can become conspiracy fact. This is the Graylian Report with your host, Micah Hanks.
Welcome back to the program. It is the Graylian Report, broadcasting from that spy capital of the East Coast over here in Ash Vegas, North Kekalaki, in the bunker hundreds of miles beneath terra firma with Caleb and Tyler. The place where we do our best work and never manage to get a tan, it is the Graylian Report. Welcome back to the program. Hour two, and the bunker is under attack by reptilians. As a matter of fact, speaking of reptilians, I see two of them in the chat room, Reptile and Scotty Roberts, to have written a book like the one that he wrote about reptiles and reptilians, The Secret History of the Reptilians. That guy's got to be a reptile. Scotty Roberts is a reptile! Always knew it, and so do you. Welcome back. Speaking of Scotty Roberts, I want to mention one thing before we get into our analysis of how the Scaly Brethren are going to bring the apocalypse. We have far less to worry about in terms of skyquakes when we've got reptiles that'll do the job. But I do want to bring to your attention, if you're listening to this live, or if it is Wednesday, September 4th, you still have a little time, depending on what time it is right now. I don't know where you are, what time, or where you may be listening, but you may still be able to get to ParadigmSymposium.com. We've got a Labor Day promotion. We normally don't run promotions this late in the game, but we decided to do a few, despite the fact that we're almost out of a lot of the tickets for the two upper tiers of Paradigm tickets. But we love people, and when things are going well, we like to try and help them out. And so we've got a promotion going. Go check that out, ParadigmSymposium.com. And also listen out for a quick mention this week on Jim Harold's Paranormal Podcast. Scotty and I jumped on there. We're going to be jumping on the Paracast here in just a few days as well with Gene and Chris. Of course, Gene Steinberg and Chris are good buddies of ours. Chris is even going to be a speaker at Paradigm Symposium this year, talking about his new book, which is going to be called Stalking the Herd, Looking at the Cattle Mutilation Mystery. I tell you, he's really a next page kind of guy. Has a very different approach to the study of cattle mutilation than most people. And if you ever thought that it was pure bunk, that's probably because you haven't heard what Chris has to say about it. I think that there's a lot more to be said in terms of cattle mutilation.
Are we under assault?
Yeah, I thought I could hear like a Hadal screaming someplace.
Sound like a drunk maniac.
As a matter of fact, actually, right now I'm seeing people tweeting at me, Hadals, damn Hadals every time. Shane Prue writes, damn, I hope so. Anything to save us from Butt Cutter. Do you guys remember? That was a Matt Oakley original. Matt always thought it'd be hilarious to have a film about a serial killer that just goes around stabbing people in the rear end. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And then we've got Chris Coleman tweeting, wow, Micah, did you really cut your hair or is it just hiding? It's been a while since we've seen photos of you. Or are there two Micah Hanks? No, and actually my hair's been short for quite some time. As a matter of fact, one of the more recent photos of me is the one there at ParadigmSymposium.com. If you don't follow me on Twitter yet, there's a nice, rather intimidating photo of me pointing right at you that's on my background on Twitter. That's Micah Hanks on Twitter, so definitely catch us right there. And without further ado, getting to the news that matters the most. CBS reported today that Mississippi hunters set a state record on Sunday over Labor Day weekend when they caught an alligator that, when stretched out, measured over 13 feet and weighed 727 pounds. Good God. Now, Dustin Bachman, Ryan Bachman, and Cole Landers were the captors of the animal that caught it in the Mississippi River near Claiborne County, and while the catch is reportedly 2 inches shorter than Mississippi's length record, it's officially the heaviest, according to Mississippi's alligator program coordinator, Ricky Flint. The state's alligator hunting season, sponsored by the Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries, and Parks, ends on September 9th. And according to a CBS affiliate, WJTV, a different hunting party also set a Mississippi alligator record over the weekend. Ellsville hunters Brandon Boo Maskew and Alan Purvis caught a 10-foot-long, 295.3-pound female alligator on Saturday, setting both the state's length and weight record for female alligators. Lots of big gators out there. And I think that this is just further proof, and I think Tyler and Caleb would agree, further proof that the reptilians are taking over. Because we're going to be battling giant gators. They are taking over down there in Florida. You know, in Florida, I think is it the Burmese python that's been listed among the most damaging endangered species, because they're literally going after small pets, rabbits,
handicapped people, children.
They could. I tell you, Burmese python.
Moped.
Moped riders, you know, transients. No, I tell you, though, a Burmese python. You remember the tragic story from Canada a few weeks ago, the two children that were killed by a snake that had escaped up through a ventilation shaft from a a pet store, and it killed, I think, a 5- and a 7-year-old, and that was absolutely terrible. But when you've got incredibly large snakes like you have down there in Florida, literally, people, wildlife officials are saying, if you see one of these things, kill it. Oh, don't get it. Oh, don't hurt it. Oh.
Yeah, you're more likely to die of a reptilian attack than a terrorist in America.
Well, I mean, you know, there is a form of terrorism that incurs from reptilian attacks. I'm being semi-serious, but I mean, in truth, literally, people, I think a lot of people, and I'm compassionate too, I don't want to advocate just killing animals for fun and for sport. You know, by the same token, I also understand the concept, much like scientific forestry that prevents wildfires, like what we're seeing out there in Yosemite right now. I also understand the necessity for quality wildlife management, because without natural predators, and furthermore, with the introduction of invasive species that can be very damaging to an environment, like these pythons and other animals, especially down there around the Everglades, become a very serious and dangerous problem. Which is it going to be? Is it going to be the giant snakes or our children? Yes, the reptilians could kill you, and that is why you must take this seriously. But here is the more massive, the more insidious element among our snaky brethren. As Scotty Roberts and I always say to each other, quoting, what was the character from Indiana Jones? Well, actually, it was Indy that said snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes? Scotty used that quote in his book on reptilians. Sharp Dog here in the chat room is saying crocodilians. That's right. Oh, and that reminds me, by the way, before we get into this next story, which has to do with rattlesnakes and spookies, but rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes. But
ride the snake.
Yes, but you know, there was actually, I remember Daniel Pinchbeck in his book Breaking Open the Head had talked about, I think it may have been Ibogaine, and he had claimed that he had seen he had written about a man who had said that he had seen these crocodile-like lizard people that claimed that they were the real masters of reality, just like in the Black Sabbath song. And he spoke to this blind shaman after the experience and mentioned these beings, and he'd said, oh no, they tell everyone that. They're not the masters of reality, only the masters of outer darkness. But it's interesting because the reptilian character, the humanoid reptile creature, is a consistent archetype that appears during visionary trips and vision quests and things and altered states of consciousness. Some people have even claimed during alleged alien abduction encounters that they have had literal face-to-face interactions with reptilians. And that was something else Scotty talks about in his book, was, you know, being contacted by a woman a while back who said, you know, you're not taking me seriously. I'm telling you, I had an encounter where I was attacked and you know, studied by an actual reptilian alien being. I haven't seen any actual hard evidence that supports these kinds of theories that guys like David Icke and people like that put out there. And Scotty, of course, took these theories to task in his book, and he doesn't look at the actual presence of reptilians. I know that there are probably a lot of people who look at that book and just roll their eyes and call him an ass-plucking Nephilimer and an ancient alien theorist, when in truth, you know, with his book, Scotty's looking at the hith, the hith. That snake's got a lith.
Mikey, you were just channeling Mike Tyson. The history.
The hith.
I don't like that snake. He hithed at me. No, he looks at the history and the mythos surrounding snakes and reptilian figures in history.
Okay? He goes on to prescribe a recipe for worship.
Yes, and even a recipe for snake souffle, which, Tyler, we need to try that in studio sometime.
Sounds appetizing.
You know, if we head down to Florida, we can maybe find some of the guys who actually killed these giant invasive pythons and ask them if we can have the body. Or then again, you know, with the new trend right now, just picking up roadkill right off the highway and taking it home and cooking it, we could probably just go down and find where somebody's run over it with their moped, and we'll bring that home and slice him up and have some snake here in the bunker.
Someone should start up like a snakeskin boots market down there, you know? It would just be really easy to get the product.
Yeah. Exactly right. Well, anyway, you know, this is where it gets a little bit disconcerting, because I was talking before we had to make that brief aside about the masters of outer darkness, which the reptilians claim to be. Well, I'm sorry, one more brief aside. Someone also tweeted at Aaron Wright this week that the actual voice, the guiding voice that many people describe that they hear during such Ibogaine trip, what if that was Micah Hanks, they said. I thought that was funny. So maybe I'm actually the real master of outer darkness. Maybe I'm a reptilian. Who knows? But I will tell you this. There are reports out of South Dakota that some rattlesnakes are apparently losing their warning rattles, okay, so that when you're walking along, you're not getting that familiar sound that, well, nobody really wants to hear when they're out walking, you know. That one.
You're not the snake.
You're not hearing that. No, instead, and see, that's the thing. Nobody wants to hear that, but think about it. When a rattle is heard and you're walking along and you hear that, that means, hey, watch out before I bite you. Okay? It's a blessing in disguise. You don't want to run into a rattlesnake while you're out hiking on a trail, but if you do hear that, at least you got from this guy, okay? Well, in South Dakota, there are reports that some of these rattlesnakes actually are being born now without a tail.
Terry Phillip, a naturalist at Reptile Gardens in Rapid City, says the rattle often leads to the snake's demise.
And the snakes that are discovered are the ones that are have a really strong muscle next to their rattle so that they actually function the way they're supposed to. So people be out walking or gardening or whatever, and a rattlesnake starts rattling. Well, it gets the end of the shovel or the .22 pistol or whatever.
Over the past couple of years, Phillip has noticed an increasing number of rattlesnakes with what he calls curlicue tails. Imagine the tail on a pig and you'll get the idea. Phillip says the tail muscles on these snakes have apparently atrophied, so they can't shake their rattle. And rattlesnakes that can camouflage themselves well are less likely to be killed.
And so the snakes that have that genetic defect, those are the ones that are surviving to then reproduce, and they're passing on that genetic defect to their offspring.
A genetic defect is just one of few theories that might explain this change. Phillip says rattlesnakes that can't rattle tend to be more aggressive since they're missing a key protective element. Bonnie Fleming, the hiker who encountered a prairie rattlesnake in high school, says that's not good.
I think that's terrifying. Every encounter I've had, I've been able to avoid them because of that warning. So it's really helpful.
Black Hills State University professor Brian Smith has made a career out of researching rattlesnakes. He has about 20 prairie rattlers near his office on the Spearfish, South Dakota campus. Smith says it may not always be a genetic defect that keeps rattlers from rattling.
Snakes do get abnormalities. Snakes do get their tails can be broken during failed predation attempts.
You shouldn't think a rattlesnake has to rattle before biting. It doesn't always do that. So you should always keep your eyes and ears open for rattlesnakes.
I think that's good advice for all walks of life, right?
I was thinking... And Reptile in the chat room mentioned the same thing. A snake without a head. Is that just like Rattlesnake McNuggets?
Rattlesnake McNuggets. Well, you know, I've heard everything that you can imagine. Two snaked heads. Listen to me. God. Two-headed snakes. I've heard of, and this can occur in two different ways. Like John Keel talked about in Jadu being sold a two-headed snake that had a head allegedly on either end. One on the front and one on the back.
Now, it's like a Chinese finger trap.
Yeah, and he dissected
of
it.
Death.
He dissected the snake and found that this did not apparently actually appear to be a two-headed snake. But then I have actually seen snakes that where the normal head should be, there are two of those. I've seen turtles of that variety as well as lizards and other kinds of reptiles. But my God, I mean, think about this. Giant alligators, snake, rattlesnakes with no tails, two-headed lizards. You know, we're...
The Reptilian Uprising.
We are experiencing, as we're watching it like happen live, it is a reptilian uprising. My God, how much, you know, next thing that they're going to have wings, they're going to be snakes with wings. They're going to be, they're going to be pygmy alligators. They're going to be crawling up through our toilets and you're sitting there on your toilet and then exactly. No. You won't hear that anymore. They're not even going to warn you before they bite you. They've got a little pig's curlicue tail. This is evolutionary so that they can bite you more effectively. They have literally evolved curlicue tails so as not to... watch, some herpetologist out there is going to email me throughout the week and say, Micah, you are an idiot. This is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. I'm not literally saying that they've evolved to be able to bite you more effectively.
I've got it now.
No, Caleb, actually, I think before long it's going to be this. Literally, dinosaurs are going to come back from the dead, and we're all going to wake up one morning and see creatures outside our window that have come to devour us. That's what it is. That's what's happening.
Yeah, beware. Next time you go looking for those Arby fries, there could be a snake behind it.
You know, actually, this may be more true than you'd think, because, I mean, I'm looking actually at this news story that was carried at anomalous.com today. A mysterious sea creature washed ashore at Jamoro Beach. Listen to this. A huge mammal, it's described as being, has been found at the shores of Asanta Beach in the Jamoro District of Western Region. The mammal is reported to weigh between 6 and 8 tons. Now, the decomposed sea creature was washed ashore about 3 days ago, but residents, who are mostly fishermen, say that they can only bury it on Tuesday, since that's the only time that they don't go fishing. Now, according to residents, the stench emanating from this huge mammal is disturbing and makes it hard for them to breathe. Now, a businessman, Isaac Bentham Williams, who is at the shore, said the mammal may be an endangered species which requires further studies by scientists and researchers. Mr. Williams, and they've got photos of it here, and to me, I mean, it's very compelling looking, but I think probably what we're seeing is a partially decomposed whale of some kind. But what's interesting is that they said that, according to Joy News, the head of the mammal looks like a crocodile. It is apparently a mammal. What if the alligators are breeding with the whales now?
Why don't you tweet that?
Yeah, this is, I mean, that, yeah, we'll tweet that from my Micah Hanks account right now. Now, vultures have already begun feeding on the intestines of this creature. They said that it did look like the head of the mammal resembled a crocodile, while its tail looked a lot like a whale. My guess is that it is a whale, or that whales and crocodiles are actually breeding. So this is an even further subversive element that we're going to be seeing from within the reptilian types, because, or from within the reptilian community, because I believe that there is a community of reptilians that actually exists underground in bases and entire cities that span the portions of Hadalopolis that are not actually inhabited by the under-earth Hadal types.
Oh my God.
At this moment, meanwhile, someone is actually leaving a review on iTunes.
Anyone listening to the Grayling Report, they're too silly.
All they talk about is Hadals and reptilians.
Look,
these,
if you want a serious
love
show.
Snakes.
I have to say, it is interesting.
I like turtles.
Well, you know, the thing is I like to try and balance things. Now, by balancing, I don't mean leaping from one extreme to the other, but last week was an extremely serious show. We even opened this show talking about Syria. I've talked about Syria, including my Micah Hanks broadcasts with the regimen. I've talked about Syria almost exclusively for the last three shows. I thought it was probably time to diverge. And while we're talking about this in a somewhat humorous manner, I want to maintain the intention here behind this is that we are still addressing actual reports where, for instance, rattlesnakes are developing a very strange and potentially deadly abnormality that hikers and people should probably be aware of, especially in South Dakota. When we come back, we will continue our discussion of the strange aspects of the animal kingdom, especially those who bear scales and seek to try and bite us before giving us the benefit of a good strong rattle. I'm Micah Hanks. This is the Grayling Report. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
According to the Maya, the rain god Chalk created the vast oceans as he struck the clouds with his axe in ancient times. Some believe today that there may be more to these myths of strange beings, but no modern adventure will explore mysteries of our ancient past like the Ancient Alien Cruise, January 9th through the 13th, 2014. Set sail for a high seas adventure with experts in ancient mysteries and ancient astronaut theories, including author David Hatcher Childress, Dr. Robert Schock, and Hugh Newman. Go where mysteries of the ancients await you, along with a privately led shore excursion to Mayan ruins, and a one-of-a-kind fine dining experience with your guides and speakers aboard one of the specialty restaurants on deck. Sign up early to ensure the speaker of your choice, and reservations made by September 1st will receive $25 per cabin onboard credit. The Ancient Alien Cruise will depart from Fort Lauderdale. Airfare, travel, and insurance is not included, but call for additional pricing and amenities. For details, visit ancientaliencruise.com or call Holiday Maker Travel toll-free at 877-642-4308. Embrace the spirit of adventure. ancientaliencruise.com.
Meet my Minaha.
Welcome back to the program. It is the Graylian Report, and I'm your host, Micah Hanks. Talking tonight a little about the reptilian uprising. Because obviously all of us here at the Graylian Report really do think that, we actually think that the reptilians are going to take over. We really do. It's bound to happen.
My money.
Hold on, turn that down so we can hear this. Hold on, we've got this. You're going to hear this probably a lot more.
Sorry.
Thank you.
The reptilian uprising.
There you go. Tyler just loves that. That's your, it's your reptilian uprising theme. Anytime we find further evidence of the ongoing infiltration of our culture by reptilians, that's what you're going to hear. That, or you're going to hear some random weird little alien takeover noise. You know, speaking of aliens taking over, I'm trying to find the story here. This happened apparently in Alabama just last week. Apparently some Alabama residents actually thought that reptilians were already taking over. Did you hear about that one? It was an old-style War of the Worlds. Well, not exactly, but I'm pretty amazed that there are people who are actually concerned about this. It happened in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Apparently, radio station Star 94.9 had been airing what were basically like some sort of little promotional thing. They were going to be doing a format change, and they were going to be starting to change the music and stuff like that. And they began to warn people about an extraterrestrial invasion starting on August 27th in conjunction with this format change. And would you believe that there were actually people from local schools that were calling and wanting to know what was going on? They'd said, as a matter of fact, that certain attendance numbers in local elementary schools were down because people were concerned.
Yes, I can, Micah.
There may be an actual threat here. The reptilians are actually invading, and we got to keep our kids home and safe so that they aren't attacked at school by aliens, by reptilians.
All we got to tell the citizens of Alabama is moisturize so you keep your skin from looking flaky and reptilian-like.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I think we may have some audio here, actually, of the actual alien takeover.
Commander, the humans are anxious for another message from you.
I told them that I would speak to them on Thursday at 9 a.m.
They are curious. It is in their nature.
I see. Are they not patient as well?
It would appear not.
Tyler's like sitting over here. What is this? Well, Tyler, if you've been listening to the story I was reading, you'd know this is the audio that was played on the new Star 94.9. This was what they used to promote the fact that there was an alien invasion.
Now that I hear the audio, I'm like, wow, really?
Yeah, it sounds like one of those commercials. It's like, find jobs now at the end, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. AstroHopeWater.com, you know? But I'll tell you this, people outside the Asheville area even will know what I'm talking about because, oh, who's the famous announcer that produces those? He and his family, in fact, all work together and produces everywhere you go, you know, ChattanoogaHelpWanted.com, you know, San Francisco HelpWanted.com. You probably hear these.
He's honestly terrible. I'm tired of him.
Listen to you. That's one of the most effective.
Yes. I'm just looking at your job. See, I'm about to steal it from you.
Yes, but
that's fair.
You would underestimate. You don't misunderstimate. In fact, how effective those ads are. You know, working in radio, Jack Trout was one, and then of course Roy Williams, not Roy Williams the coach, but Roy Williams the advertiser. You know, this is the kind of stuff that you study. Which, yes, to an extent, I didn't enjoy having to study advertisement. Again, this coming from Tyler, the guy who has made the case that all advertisement essentially is subversively what?
It's all founded on reminding you of traumatic episodes in your own life to sell you something.
That's what you said. Well, I mean,
I think we're doing some work to prove that, too.
Well, I mean, think about this. It is pretty funny that when you hear a commercial, I mean, you don't hear typically, when you want a used car, come on down to Rocky's. Rocky's going to sell you. No, here's how most. This is how most.
That's what it should be. Rocky's going to sell you a used car.
Rocky is going to sell.
Come on down and get your used car.
Come on down. No, here's exactly what you're going to hear when you hear a when you hear a car commercial. It's this. Get down here today. You're going to buy your cars. We got everything. We got blue cars, red cars, green cars. I mean, seriously.
Sunday.
Only at Kia.
No. Get up off your ass and get down here.
We'll have our hot dog stand out, too. Free hot dogs.
And free lemonade for the kids.
Or they will be killed.
Offers like $2,000. I mean, seriously, that's every car commercial you've ever heard. So, yes, maybe there is a traumatic element because they're trying to induce, you know, a catatonic state, especially from our war veterans when they hear these commercials.
Yeah. It's like a PTSD trigger dude.
Seriously.
Why do you think, you know, if we see, like, a sudden, well, I guess we can't say that. Never mind. I was going to say a sudden surge in, like, lone wolf type maniacs. It's because of these commercials.
Who knows?
They've been around.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Sunday. It's Charlie.
It's kind of funny. I've heard some really terrible commercials over the years. And what was really funny is when I worked in radio, I'd be sitting in my office and we'd have other clients come in to produce something. And I often did these voices, you know, different voices on commercials. And people who wouldn't recognize my voice on one would come in and they'd be like, all right, cool, I like this. Yeah, and they'd love the way that we were making their commercial sound. And I'd be sitting there working with them. What about this? We'll put this music here. They're like, oh, man, that's magic. God, I'm so glad it doesn't sound like that other commercial. I can't stand that guy. And they're talking about me. And they don't realize I'm sitting right there. I'm like, yeah, that we don't use him anymore. He was talent from another market.
They put a paper cutter, or a envelope cutter in that part of my brain, so I can't do that voice anymore.
Yes. That was back when I was being schizophrenic, but I don't sound like that anymore. That was actually a Wookiee. That was a Sasquatch that voiced that. That's why I had the gravelly voice. Speaking of Sasquatch, have you guys seen this latest trail cam photo of a mangy bear? Okay, this was apparently photographed, where was this? This was in Virginia, I believe. And, I mean, I have to say at the very, and I sent the photograph to you guys to take a look at too. I mean, from one viewing, if you just glanced at this, you literally might go, gosh, I mean, that looks kind of like a monkey leaning over and grabbing something. And the story out of the Southwest Times, southwesttimes.com carried this particular news blurb. They were asking whether the photograph showed an unverified picture of Bigfoot. Was Tyler over here looking at the Bigfoot?
I just read the comment on your crocodile whale tweet.
Oh, really? Well, I'll have to take a look at that. Yes.
Oh, God.
Folks are interacting, but they say it's unclear if this is an unverified picture of a Bigfoot. It was recently discovered on a trail cam placed in the nearby mountains. It was surprising, to say the least, when I discovered the image on the camera's disc. What in the world can this be? When carefully scrutinizing the image, the author writes, it appears that the right arm shows fingers as the animal grasps the base of what appears to be a tree stump. It also has elongated feet similar to a man's appendages. Its fur is matted on the back, but then it's thin on the arms and the legs, and unfortunately the head and the face aren't shown by the image taken. So is it a Bigfoot? Well, no. Apparently, Roger Williams, who submits the photograph, thinks it's a bear. He says it has to be a bear, does it not? I hunt this area annually, and I've never ever seen any sign of Bigfoot. No, I have seen bear scat and tracks before, so I can identify them. You know, again, it's interesting because I think that so often, truly, evidence of bear, okay, is offered in support of claims of the existence of Bigfoot. Did you guys see that first episode of Joe Rogan Questions Everything, where he talks with Tom Powell? Okay, who wrote a book a few years ago, a very interesting book called The Locals. But in that episode, Tom Powell passes along to him a sample of what he says is Sasquatch scat. And Joe, yeah, now we have a resident scatologist, Tyler Pittman, here. The scat is passed along, so I want to get info from the scat man.
My God,
here in
he's
just a minute.
Rumpologist.
I'm a scat man. Anyway,
do it.
Please stop this.
You've got more in common with that dude than
maybe,
I have.
Maybe I'm
a molested meat puppet.
I thought like a scatologist was someone who was an expert in scat singing.
Yeah, Scatman John is a scatologist.
But Tyler doing pretty
is a
well.
Rumpologist.
Well, I don't know if he's a scatologist, but it's pretty crappy either way. I'll tell you, though, the thing is that in that episode where I was talking about Joe Rogan visiting with Tom Powell, he's handed a scat sample that Tom Powell refers to as being Sasquatch scat. You remember this?
No, I'm just laughing at the fact that they can make a show based on handing like scat of unknown origin to look at.
Do you remember a few years ago, actually, that I think Tom Biscardi had been promoting what was being referred to as the hand of unknown origin? It turned out it actually was a bear paw, but without the fur on it, with the claws removed. It looked very much like a large human hand, and this has been the case in many instances. There was a leg of unknown origin years and years ago that had actually belonged to a kind of a Himalayan bear, but it had been making the rounds in the crypto sites as being a quote-unquote Yeti leg. So often, yeah, seriously.
Yeti leg.
The leg of a Yeti. And then there's this photograph that clearly appears to show a mangy bear, but, you know, all hunched over and seen from the posterior, it does appear to resemble more closely a little ape-like creature. And so often the evidence of that is, you know, presented as Bigfoot evidence really is bear. And I think a lot of people don't realize how easily they can be misled, and how, frankly, human at times, a bear or parts of a bear or bear scat can seem. Now, in that episode that I'm referencing, look at these guys. It's like grade school all over again. You're sitting here laughing.
I mean, like you, I don't have...
Why can't we have a serious discussion about scatology here?
This is why we can't have nice things. What were you saying, Kylie?
I was just going to say, like Mike, I don't have a television, and so I don't watch these shows, and it sounds like they're terrible.
Yeah, well...
No, I don't have cable, but I've seen these shows before, and they are terrible. It literally is just day after day, episode... after episode of what I like to call Rainbow Chasers. Tonight on Rainbow Chasers, we find some other crap mask.
Well, I've said for...
Or don't find
I've
it.
Said before that Finding Bigfoot, it should be called Not Finding Bigfoot, because they don't find Bigfoot on Finding Bigfoot.
At least they wouldn't be lying.
It's misleading.
Where's our deal for Goblin Gatherers?
Okay.
He's going to be at GobliCon 2014.
We're going to launch...
Goblin Grabbers at the real-life Pokemon Masters.
Goblin Grabbers, that's right.
These shows have been around. They used to be good, though, like that show Sightings. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and it scared the hell out of me as a kid. Now it's like, ooh.
This week on Goblin Grabbers. The boys find themselves in a cave with a Mokalian Bembe.
The reptilian overlords finally take their faces.
The Goblin King practices catology with the Graylians.
Oh, that's not happening in Gray Street.
This is really getting dangerous, but... So, 14 asks, scatology, is that a real thing?
Oh, no, let me Google it.
I shouldn't say it on the air, but yeah, you know, get what I'm saying. Anyway, Joe Rogan, at the time that Tom Powell hands the scat sample over to him, he says, but how do we know this isn't bear crap? And he says, well, no, you notice it's a long, you know, kind of log shape.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, seriously, he's explaining this to Joe.
There's
clearly
evidence of Jack Link in the stool.
The samples come back, and poor Caleb.
Do you know any bears that buy Jack Link?
We just sent Caleb down. Caleb's gone further down underground now.
There is some kind of EMF bombardment going on over here. That's the only thing that could explain the sad turn of events.
Coronal. Poor Caleb. That was the end of him that night. No. The samples came back. It was obviously bear crap. And that's the thing. People can laugh all they want to. The point I'm trying to make here is that if you want to believe it's something, you will make a case. Yeah, this is Bigfoot crap. And yes, every Bigfoot footprint cast that's ever been made is actually of a Bigfoot. Now look, there is some compelling evidence for the existence of Bigfoot. We've talked about that before on this program. We haven't done a crypto show in a long time. And I've gotten more skeptical over the years. I used to be one of those people who, like everybody, I wanted to believe. I was like, you know, it was Jane Goodall that actually said, deep down at heart, I'm a scatologist. No. at heart, she said, I'm a romantic. Well, you know, I guess scatology could be romantic, Jane, but Jane.
It is for monkeys.
that's not exactly scatology.
That's sport for monkeys.
Yeah, it's just pure sport. But no, Jane Goodall said, you know, I'd like to think... I'm a romantic at heart, and I would like to think, yeah, that a Bigfoot creature could exist. Well, I'm the same way, but by the same token, I just don't know that I can say, yes, we have hard evidence. Yes, there is proof. I think that there are some things that are worth further question, and yes, I also think that some of the evidence that has been presented, the better evidence, not the wishful thinking kind of evidence, okay, like the crap we were just talking about, but, I mean, for instance, a witness testimony all by itself may not prove that there is a creature like Bigfoot, but I do return from time to time to the William Rowe affidavit, which described an incredibly detailed encounter with a female Sasquatch that predated by a couple of decades the Patterson-Gimlin film. Now, a lot of people have said the Patterson-Gimlin film also is less likely to be an authentic film showing a Sasquatch. I think that there is a lot of dirt on that film, but I think that there are also some very compelling arguments that have been made just as well as to why that film, even today, at least requires consideration. I think the popular skeptic angle is simply this, and there have been some more analytical deconstructions of the Patterson-Gimlin footage, but I think at the heart of the argument it's this. It looks like a person, okay, but kind of like a monkey. No known existing ape walks or behaves like that, or walks like a human. So that looks a lot like a person in an ape suit, and therefore if it walks like a human but looks like a monkey, it is a man in an ape suit. Debunked. There it is, it's debunked. again, I think that we have to take into consideration all of the aspects, including the time, okay, that the film, I mean, when I say time, I mean the era, what technologies existed. Again, a number of skeptics have rightly asserted that, well, we saw Planet of the Apes and how those, you know, costumes looked. I mean, it was possible to make a pretty convincing ape costume back then. But then again, I mean, there is the sex of the creature. It's obviously a female, or the presumed creature. And again, I'm not saying that it isn't a man in a monkey suit. I'm just saying that there are a lot of things that what we know about Bigfoot, in terms of the memes at the time, were not exactly represented in that film. In other words, it wasn't this great big brutish creature. It was actually a big brutish-looking female creature, anatomically correct in almost every regard. You can see muscle movement and you know, all these kinds of, you know, rippling flesh and things like that, you know, beneath the very fine hair on this creature. If it was hoaxed, and I'm not saying that it couldn't have been, I'm just saying that it was would have been difficult to do that, and we don't. We do know, I guess, from Roger Patterson, who shortly after the film was made died of cancer. Patterson and Gimlin, they had allegedly purchased from a guy named Morris, Philip Morris, I believe was his name, down in Charlotte, North Carolina. They had purchased an ape suit, but the Morris ape costume didn't look anything like what was seen in the Patterson-Gimlin footage. And furthermore, they probably had not had at their disposal the technology, I guess we could use that terminology here, that would be needed to make, to me, some of the more convincing aspects of the Patterson-Gimlin footage as convincing as they were. They obviously are not convincing to skeptics. I may not be 100% in support of the fact that that was a real creature like a lot of cryptozoologists are, although I think at one time I would have been. You know, I question those things a lot more now. And so for me, I look at the Patterson-Gimlin footage and I say, maybe there is something to this. Maybe there's something more than so simply, as is said by the skeptics, man in a monkey suit, end of story. And furthermore, as I've pointed out before, in that book that Cal Korf and Greg Long put out a few years ago where they claimed to have debunked the entire thing, some aspects of their narrative, the skeptical argument that they presented against the legitimacy of the Patterson-Gimlin footage, some of their argument that they presented, aspects of their story literally contradicted one another. And it was difficult to resolve some of those things. I think that they said a retired Pepsi-Cola bottler by the name of Bob Hieronymus had been the guy wearing the suit. They claimed that Philip Morris had sold the suit to Gimlin and, Bob Gimlin and Roger Patterson. However, when Hieronymus wore the suit, he said that it had been made of horse hide and that it still stunk when he wore it and that it was all pieced together from horse hide with arm extensions and all these things. So then Long and Korf, if I remember correctly, I believe what they did to reconcile the two stories was they said that Patterson used pieces of horsehide to add elements that made the existing Morris costume more authentic looking, such as breasts and things like this, and that this is why we see not only a creature that looks very different in the footage from the costume that Morris would have supplied them with, but also this explains the inconsistencies in the story. And I'm just thinking, man, it's getting almost to a point where the skeptics in some of these cases are making up parts of the story themselves just so that it fits a skeptical explanation. I think that there's a lot that needs to still be questioned with regard to the Patterson-Gimlin footage, and I think that it's fair to say, hey, maybe some of the better reports of Bigfoot out there are more legitimate. Now, this piece of footage that we're seeing, or rather the trail cam photo that Roger Williams had obtained in Virginia, I think that's a bear with mange. But do you remember that little guy that was photographed a few years ago? I think it was called Jacob's Creature was what they called him.
Jacob's Creature.
Jacob's Creature, yes. It was a very benign-sounding name, but, I mean, the photograph didn't show a great big hulking monster. It showed what looked a lot like a little ape. Now, again, people said this is clearly a bear with mange. I would say in this photo from Virginia, we are seeing what is clearly a bear with mange. In the Jacob's Creature photos, there were other photos that actually showed small, you know, yearling bears and some cubs and things running around. That thing that they're saying was a baby Bigfoot in the photograph, you know, it may have been a bear with mange, but the way that it moved, there's a lot of strange things that thing in the photos is seen doing. You know, it looked a lot less like a bear. So in the Virginia case, I can say, yeah, I think we're looking at a bear with mange. I think that there are other cases where maybe it's a bit of a stretch to assert with such certainty that what we're seeing is, without question, a known species. Maybe Jacob's Creature was one of those. We'll look at that a little more when we come back. I'm Micah Hanks. This is the Graylian Report. About to wrap things up for this week's edition, so stay with us, and we'll be back right after this.
We'll be right back.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Imagine a place, beautiful, green, sloping mountains, and a rich, mysterious window into our ancient past. It's a culture the likes of which you won't find any place else. And while the place I'm describing is in Vermont, it's also the home of Inner Traditions, publishers of fine books on mind, body, and spirit for more than 3 decades. Inner Traditions are internationally recognized publishers of everything from occult to esoteric and spiritual books, as well as the leading authorities on alternative health, holistic healing, sacred sexuality, altered states of consciousness, and so much more. And frankly, it's not the kind of information you'll find just anywhere. Exploring the inner secrets of humanity requires thinking outside the box. And when it comes to Inner Traditions, the name says it all. All you have to do to learn more is visit innertraditions.com and you can receive a free catalog that will tell you all about their latest books and newest authors. That's Inner Traditions and Bear & Company, publishers of fine esoteric books for more than 3 decades. Find them online at innertraditions.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you. And your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Welcome back to the program. It is the final segment of this week's edition of the Graylian Report. Continuing our discussion, well, it's kind of run the gamut, and I keep thinking about, as a matter of fact, somebody posted in the chat room a little earlier, this was very fitting, I thought, an image from the cover of the old classic Toho film, Godzilla vs. King Kong. My favorite version of the cover shows King Kong grasping the massive reptilian beast by the end of the tail and swinging him in circles. It was one of the probably the most hilarious scenes from a giant monster film ever on film. Welcome back to the program. And I think it's fitting, by the way, that here on the Graylian Report tonight we're discussing King Kong versus Godzilla, because it appears that, well, the reptilian overlords versus Sasquatch, we're having our own little King Kong versus Godzilla right here in the bunker tonight and broadcasting all around the world, wide web on the internet, and of course to people in the chat room. So now, specifically where we left off, we were talking about this Jacob's creature, and we're looking at the photos here right now. They're posted. If you want to find them, you can go to BFRO, that's the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization.net, BFRO.net, or go on Google and do a search for Jacob's creature. And the story was that there were 3 images. I think there are 3 images that appear on the site. One of them does not appear to show a creature. It merely shows bear. And then there are 2 photos in a sequence that show something that appears, if it is a bear, it is perhaps a malformed bear. It must be suffering from extreme mange.
Just make sure you have safe search on, because I've got some interesting results for Jacob's creature.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Now, the images were obtained using a Bushnell trail camera back in 2007 by a person named R. Jacobs. They were taken in Northwest Pennsylvania on September 16th of that year, 2007. Jacobs had placed, according to the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization website, a motion-sensing camera, the Bushnell, on a tree along a game trail in a remote forest area in order to photograph any deer that might be using that trail. Now, he did this in preparation for the fall deer hunt. Being a deer hunter, Jacobs was not trying to obtain images of anything like a Bigfoot. He had been, you know, trying to you know, find out, you know, if there were deer coming through this area. Now, he had baited the area where he had placed the camera with a deer attractant mix, and then also he'd placed what is customary, a mineral lick block. Now, in the images, there's one image that actually shows a bunch of little bear cubs hanging around. The mineral lick block can be seen sitting on a large black plastic plate. One of the bear cubs in that first photo can be seen kind of licking or sniffing the mineral block, and the two subsequent images show the black plate turned over and leaning against the mineral block. And apparently, according to Jacobs, several minutes elapsed between the image of the bear cubs and then these later images that show what looks more like an ape-like animal. The second image specifically shows this, what appears to be an ape-like animal, from a rear side angle with its head obscured by its shoulders. I have to say, actually, quite a bit like what is obvious to me to be a mangy bear in this Virginia trail cam photo. That,
yeah, I mean, this looks like a bunch of nothing to me.
But the Jacob's creature does?
Yeah.
You know, again, it's
possible. You can see a bear in the behind the other one.
Well, now
in the picture, you see
that? In the first picture, you can see two bear. Okay, now in the second photograph, which they referred to as an unclassified primate, you know, it looks, I mean, you know, I would not rule out a mangy bear. I certainly would not.
That's Smokey's illegitimate child.
The problem, the biggest problem is that the face appears to be obscured. Now, the really weird image to me, though, is that third one where this thing literally appears to be like bending over and putting its arms straight out in front of it and putting its face close to the ground, which apparently is where the deer attractant had been placed. Now, what's funny is that, and they may be here on the BFRO page, there had been photo comparisons that had been provided alongside this, which showed, you know, chimpanzees and other creatures adopting a very similar posture to what this creature is presumed to be doing in the photos. And furthermore, daytime photos from the spot that contain overlays of the creature show the size of the animal in the photographs relative to the surroundings. You know, again, it's strange because, I mean, you can tell when you see the bear in the previous images, you can tell without question that those are bear. It is possible that the creature in the subsequent two photos taken in 2007 by R. Jacobs, it is possible that that is a mangy bear or a malformed creature. But what is strange about it is that while you can tell without question in the first two image, or the first image, when you're looking at bear, bear cubs, to be more specific, when you look at those, there's no question what they are. It's odd to me that this creature in this second couple of photographs is at least strange enough looking that there's even any question about it. I mean, a lot of wildlife officials have said, no, look, it's obviously a mangy bear. I mean, it couldn't be anything else. And then I've actually also heard testimony from people, you know, who have said, maybe we shouldn't be so quick to leap to that conclusion. Does that mean that this is actually, let's say for, okay, and I want to just play a thought game here. Let's say that this is not a bear. Could it be something else? I'm reminded of something that Ivan Sanderson wrote back in the 1950s in his book, Abominable Snowman, Legend Come to Life, which I maintain is still probably the finest book that looks at Sasquatchery around the world.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff since it just seems so derivative. Well, you know, it's like it's becoming
there are very few.
Dumber.
One book that I actually did enjoy, although I look at it as more of a folkloric perspective rather than a purely zoological or biological interpretation, but the book True Giants that Lauren Coleman and Mark A. Hall wrote a few years ago, that was a very interesting book that kind of took a folkloric perspective in terms of its you know, approach to what I think Mark Hall had often called true giants, the massive Bigfoot creatures reported allegedly in British Columbia and the Pacific Northwest and places like that. Now, in other parts of the world, though, reports of Bigfoot-like creatures often are much smaller. You know, the Falk monsters. As a matter of fact, by the way, if I had mentioned this previously, our buddy Lyle Blackburn, who was on the program when The Beast of Boggy Creek came out, he does have a follow-up that he's written called, I don't know what the actual title is or if that has been announced, but I know it's a book that will deal with the Lizard Man, so we'll have him back on to talk about that in the near future. But, again, I think that coming back to this Jacob's creature, if we are seeing something here that is not a bear, I will say first that it is at very least in keeping with the reports of smaller creatures described in books like Blackburn's The Beast of Boggy Creek and which Ivan Sanderson wrote about specifically in parts of the Southeast. And these are creatures which Lauren Coleman began to call napes, N-A-P-E-S, napes. You remember him talking about napes when we caught up with him? God, it was almost 10 years ago when he was in Asheville last.
I don't, but I do remember that meeting.
Remember, we all got our picture taken with him. Anyway, well, so Lauren was talking about North American apes is what this acronym, you know, means essentially. And so he would call these things napes. And this entails reports of creatures that are smaller than the traditional Bigfoot and more ape-like. But Sanderson, when he wrote about this back in the 50s, had said it could be that perhaps every now and then, whether they're escaped pets or that they're escaped, you know, zoo animals or whatever, it could be that in some instances, primates could survive a succession of warm southern winters. And I wonder sometimes if it isn't possible that, for instance, what we're seeing in a photograph like this might actually be a chimpanzee. That is not a creature that is not known to exist. Now, granted, I think the photograph, again, being taken in September of 2007, wouldn't have been cold outside yet, per se, at that time of year. But coming up on fall, if this indeed had been a creature that would not be indigenous to the United States or not believed to be indigenous, he probably wouldn't have been able to sustain himself for much longer in Pennsylvania as weather got colder. I do wonder what the circumstances could be for a creature not indigenous to that part of the country. In other words, for something like a chimpanzee, what circumstances might have allowed for that? Circus passing. I mean, it sounds strange, but again, you got to keep in mind. I mean, remember last week on the, actually, I guess it was the Micah Hanks program, when we were talking about sightings of a giant cat in Detroit. I mean, that doesn't mean that there's, you know, like some sort of a monster. I mean, that means people are seeing a large, exotic-looking cat in Detroit. It could have come from a number of different places, but it doesn't rule out the possibility that there is an actual biological explanation behind something that shows up that is clearly out of place. I think that the Jacobs creature very well may be something that's out of place. I don't know that what we're seeing there is a Bigfoot, but I have to also say that compared with the bear in the photographs before it, it doesn't really look like a bear. But then again, those photographs aren't of quality enough that we can really determine conclusively what the hell we're seeing.
You know, Micah, as I tend to do at the end of each show, I kind of start to see a narrative of all these things come together. And today I've seen a very bizarre connection come together. You're talking about primates that can withstand temperatures and almost dwarf-like Sasquatches.
Yeah. And this, where's this going, Caleb?
Me to Caleb's crazy headline of the evening, which...
Where did it take us this week?
Dwarf entertainer allegedly set on fire at Mad Monday event.
Oh my God. This sounds more like a disaster, actually.
It was terrifying.
Oh my God. Somebody please get this guy some sedatives.
This is a great story, though.
What happened to this poor little guy?
He got set on fire at the Mad Monday event. He was a dwarf, and he was a wrestler.
A dwarf wrestler. How was he set on fire?
With extremely, extremely high temperatures.
Oh man!
It created fire on his body.
I was wondering if it was like one of those drinks that you set on fire, and then he like tried to swallow it, and he's just so small that it caught him.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
Caleb, I thought that you were going to take it in a different direction. You remember you used to be tormented by a spectral creature known as the Fire Monkey.
Oh, I thought about it, but we'll save that for next time.
Yeah, we'd like to hear one day about the Fire Monkey. You know, Vance Pollock and I actually found in Eberhard's Geobibliography of Anomalies a mention of a phantom baboon seen near Charlotte, North Carolina in the 1970s. That's going to have to wrap it up for this week's edition of the program, my friends. On behalf of all of us here at the Grayling Report, Caleb Hanks, Tyler Pittman, Matthew Oakley, John Anderson, Dick Oakley, and yours truly, Micah Hanks, the mouth of the South. Once again, my friends, we've wrapped it up, but we've enjoyed the time we spent with you. Check us out Sunday night on the Micah Hanks program, only at kgraradio.com and micahhanks.com. You can follow us all on Twitter just as well, graylingreport.com for the latest news. And, of course, if you want to be able to hang out with us a little bit in October, be sure and visit paradigmsymposium.com. That's going to wrap it up for now. But on behalf of all of us here, cosmic love from the bunker to all of you out there in Gradioland, and we'll talk to you next time. I'm Micah Hanks. Stay strange.
Been listening to the Grayling Report with Micah Hanks. Any rebroadcast or duplication of this program or program content without express written permission is strictly prohibited. The Grayling Report. in direct cooperation with the internet website, GraylianReport.com.